For many house purchasers, they're just dying to get the keys to the front door, move all their furniture in, and turn the house into a home. But for many others, the job isn't finished until a snag list has been compiled. So what exactly is a snag list, and what obligations do developers or builders have in making sure that all the snags highlighted are fully resolved to the purchaser's satisfaction? With many years' experience of the building trade, Steve Geeran, he has joined us to talk a little bit about the importance of a snag list. Steve, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ed.
Why is a snag list so important?
It's important because an ordinary person that buys a house who have no connection whatsoever with building, just they will not find out the little problems that's in a house until they actually live inside in the house. And over the space of maybe 6 months, they'll come across all the little faults as they're trying to close the door, or there's a nail sticking out somewhere, there's a screw loose, a cupboard door is hanging off, there's a leak off a radiator pipe, anything at all like that.
Obviously, when you're building your own home, you will have the time and you'll be able to put the effort in to make sure everything is just so. Many people purchase a home as part of a larger development. What's your opinion of workmanship, generally speaking, without identifying any particular developers?
The finished work leaves a lot to be desired, and there's not a lot of forethought goes into the process. I mean, nobody seems to care about the next person, the next trade that's coming on. You know, the block layer won't care about the plaster, the plumber won't care about the fella fitting the floorboards or trying to tile the floor, anything like that. They get their job done, and as far as they're concerned, they've done the job, they want to get paid for it. But that's no good if the floor is uneven for the man coming along to tile the floor, put a timber floor down. He has to do twice as much work to get his job right.
Snag list is pointing out all these little deficiencies to the developer or to the site foreman. When that's rectified, is that when a final stage payment then is requested? Or what is the process with a snag list? What kind of power do you have with it?
You obviously, you shouldn't pay over your final amount until you're happy with the house itself. The best thing is to do is if I was to go into a house and I dropped the snag list for a customer, then I'd produce a copy of that to the customer. They can send it on to the builder. The builder then can rectify any of the points that are on there. If the builder's not happy with a few points that I mentioned, he's quite entitled to come back to me again, and I can explain exactly why I've put the points on the list. Anything I do put on a list, I'll always stand over it. I can justify it being there. Can't put too many things down, small niggly things, because some of them things, they just can't be helped, and you have to give a little bit of leeway to the builder. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't hold him responsible for every little thing that's there.
What's the shortest snag list you've ever done?
54. And I considered the property to be a very well-built apartment in a very, very high-quality development. But there were still 54 things wrong with it. And this was after the builder had told me he's undertaken his own snag list. But there were still 54 things wrong, and one of them was a major leak from a water pipe.
And the others then, would they have been on a similar magnitude, or would there be things like a door rattling in its frame, or a saddle not properly positioned? Or
yeah, they're all finicky little things. I mean, 54 is the lowest I've ever found. And as I say, it was a very high quality development. But you're usually in around maybe 120, 150, 180. You've gone up to 254 even. So that just goes to show how many things can be wrong in a house.
Mm-hmm. And is it all internal?
No, a lot of external as well. One big point is that people never lift up a manhole cover. I mean, you just walk across the top of it. But I've lifted up so many of them. And how the builders expect the water to flow through them is just beyond me. They'd be full with papers, cardboard, bricks, anything at all.
When the snag list has been completed, it's normally just before the final transaction. The house is just new. The house, as we know, takes a while to settle. It will settle in its foundations. The timbers will shrink a little bit. Is it worth going back 6 months later? Can you go back 6 months later to the developer and say, look, the door has begun rattling, or the patio has dropped an inch or two from the back curtain wall? Can you go back at that stage, or is the deal done and dusted?
I know you can go back on a few things. Like as you said there, if the patio has dropped an inch or two, I mean, a patio shouldn't drop at all. Whatsoever. I mean, the thing about the doors and the frames and all that sort of thing, yes, there are going to be shrinkages involved there. So, but you know, everything is down to the builder himself. If he's happy, you know, if he's a person that wants to have a happy customer who will maybe purchase another house off him in time to come, you know, if this customer is happy, looks after him, this customer will recommend them to another friend of theirs. Say, oh, we bought a house in such and such a development, and they're very well built, and he looked after us afterwards. Mm-hmm. It helps you bring another customer in, and as the way the building has gone at the moment, you know, builders are actually crying out looking for customers to buy these houses. So if they look after the first customer that's after going in, they'll be like an actual salesperson for the builder, you know, telling their friends that the houses are very well built.
It's important to point out that the person who conducts the snag list is independent of the contractor or of the developer, and they are in essence working for the purchaser. Are there certain problems common with certain developers when it comes to snagging?
There are some common faults in-house. The shower extraction fan would be one of them. Wash hand basin taps always loose. The toilet bowls could be loose. The baths are always loose. You know, and all these things, the niggly problems that a lot of plumbers do, that, you know, they just put them in that way. They don't bother trying to put them in properly. They've tightened up the nut, but it doesn't stay there. You know, they just have no pride in their work. And that's quite common across the broad range of builders that are out there.
Are you surprised by that?
I understand why it happens, because it's in a big development, and it's very, very hard to control 100, maybe 150, 200 houses. It's down to the foreman or the site engineers, all them people that are supposed to be checking everything and making sure that things are done in a certain process. But when you've got such a vast, as I say, 100 or 150 houses going on at one time, it's very, very hard to control it. If you're doing a one-off house, very, very easy to control the processes. But you'll have plumbers in on top of carpenters and carpenters and electricians, and they're all in each other's way, and they just fire something in and just go away from it then. So that leads to all the problems. It's down to the actual foreman on the job. If he can organise it and put people where they should be, I mean, if there's 50 houses being built, he can surely take a plumber or a plaster from one house and fire into another house.
What's your advice for buyers when they're at that stage where they have done some of the stage payments and they're a couple of weeks away from getting the keys?
Well, obviously, definitely go out and get a snag list done, no matter who you get it from, but try and get someone who has good experience of it. I know there's a cost element involved in it, but the cost to you afterwards, if you don't get it done, you're living in your house 2 or 3 months down the line, the builder's been paid. It's going to be very, very hard to get him come back to do anything. And plus, you don't really want anyone in your house. You're after furnishing it, carpeting it, painting it. You know, and you don't want a tradesman coming back in with dirty boots and toolboxes and dust all over the place. Get all these things finished before you actually move in.